Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. And that's been the motto of my show since I started almost 2 years ago. And it's so amazing that today I have a guest that is actually sort of capable of doing that, bringing healing to the world one person at a time. I'm so thrilled to introduce to you Lama Palden Drolma. She is the author of this fantastic book that I've been reading called Love on Every Breath, Tonglen Meditation for Transforming Pain into Joy. And she has an incredible story that I'm so excited to share with you guys. And she's a licensed psychotherapist, a spiritual teacher, and a coach. And she's also studied Buddhism in the Himalayas with some of the most preeminent Tibetan masters in the 20th century, including Kalu Rinpoche. And that spiritual teacher has authorized her to become one of the very first Western lamas. And so she has written this incredible book and about transforming suffering through the use of love, loving kindness, and this old, very ancient and sacred meditation practice that she's going to share with us. So welcome so much, Lama Palden.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
So how does one get to be a lama? I'm so intrigued with that. It's something that a lot of us Westerners don't really understand what that is or how you get to be one. Can you share a little bit of your story and how that happened for you?
Sure. Yeah. Well, when I was in my mid-20s, I had been very interested in spirituality actually all my life. But in late teens, early 20s, I really began a daily meditation and yoga practice. And I was involved with mystical Christianity and Sufism and Zazen and, you know, various traditions I was looking into and practicing and studying in. And then I came to a point where I wanted to find my teacher, the person who was really going to be my guide, my guru, so to speak. So I began to pray to Mary because I had a close connection with Mary. And lo and behold, it's really funny, but I was praying to Mary, and then a Sufi friend dragged me off to meet a Tibetan teacher who was Buddhist. And as soon as I saw this Buddhist teacher, Kalu Rinpoche, he was speaking in San Francisco in the late 70s, I just knew instantly, this is my teacher. So some months later, then I went to the Himalayas to study with him in his monastery, stayed for some months, came back, went back, and actually lived over there for some years in Darjeeling and Bhutan, spent a lot of time in Sikkim, studying with great masters, and mainly my own teacher, but other great masters, and then doing meditation practice. And then in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, at some point, oftentimes, if someone's really serious, they'll either go into very extended solitary retreat, or they'll start by doing a group retreat. And their group retreats are often 3 years, 3 or 4 months in length, where you're completely away from the world, except possibly for letters, and you're in retreat, and then you go through a very exhaustive kind of meditation training where you're spending, I don't know, like 12 or more hours a day in meditation and going through a succession of different meditation practices over the 3 years, 3, 4 months. So I ended up doing that, and I had always wanted to go to retreat since I was about 13. And it turned out Kalu Rinpoche had established not only retreats in the Himalayas after leaving Tibet, but also in the West. So I ended up on top of a mountain on Salt Spring Island in British Columbia for 3.5 years in retreat. And it turns out, which I didn't really know at the time, but it turns out that's also can serve as a training ground for being a lama. So about a year after I finished that retreat, my teacher authorized me as a lama and asked me to help, you know, do things with, you know, the center and teach and things like that. So,
wow, that's really a remarkable story. And I mean, a very mystical experience that I don't think many people, I mean, you really must have an incredible spiritual calling, because that kind of retreat out of the world isn't something that most people really are interested in doing.
Right. Yeah, I have had this deep interest. I remember from when I was quite young, because somehow, even when I was, I remember even from 3 years old, thinking that there must be something more real under the surface that people weren't talking about, you know? And so that, you know, it, and I had, you know, I was very fortunate growing up with a loving family. You know, there were normal neuroses, but they were loving and supportive, well-educated, and they really gave me everything I needed and gave me a lot of freedom and love and support. But I just didn't feel that our society and the way life was, it was very unfulfilling for me. And I wanted to look for something, you know, that went much deeper somehow.
And what you found, or part of the practice that you found, is something called Tonglen meditation. And that's something that I've don't practice myself and heard about, and actually have some really interesting questions that reading your book really helped me understand that, because the way that I have practiced Tonglen and have heard about it from my people, I work mostly as a psychic and training sensitive empaths and healers. I teach energy medicine, and I have seen people who practice Tonglen meditation unable to clear the energy they pick up from other people and get really sick. So, it seems cool, yeah, but there must be a way to get around that. And then I read your book and I was like, okay, now I understand how to get around that. So, can you explain a little bit, so people who haven't heard the term Tonglen, what that means?
Sure. Yeah. So Tonglen means taking and sending in Tibetan. It's a Tibetan word. So tong, take, len, sending. So taking and sending. And what we're, now there's steps before we get to this. And this particular version of Tonglen that I'm teaching in Love on Every Breath, and I'm calling the practice Love on Every Breath in Tibetan, is a very unknown form of Tonglen that was passed directly to me orally through my teacher, both before Thriya retreat and then during Thriya retreat. And it's been passed 1,000 years without being written down, and it wasn't known by very many people. Then, so that's why I decided to bring it out at this time. But it was actually came from what in the tradition they call a wisdom dakini, a human woman who became fully enlightened named Naguma, 11th century, and then it's passed down orally to this day. And so this particular version, I think, really helps people with what you're talking about, like either taking in suffering and not being able to fully process it, or feeling so overwhelmed by our own suffering and others' suffering already that we don't want to take in anymore. So in the Tonglen, we're breathing in suffering, either of ourself or someone else, and it's transformed in the heart chakra, and then it turns into love and is sent back out as white light that is the essence of awakened love or divine love. And that goes into the person you're doing it for. And a very important part of this Love on Every Breath, this particular practice, is that it's not our ego that is doing the transforming of the suffering. There's 8 steps to the whole practice, and once you learn the whole meditation, you can do one step or the whole thing. You don't necessarily have to do all the steps. But there's a very important step right before that taking and sending, of where we call upon an awakened being or a divine being. And in the book, I give ways you could do this for whatever religion you're in, or if you're spiritual and not religious, so you can adapt this. But in the Buddhist tradition, we call on the Bodhisattva of compassion, the great Chenrezi, as he's called in Tibetan, or Kuan Yin, as she's called in China. And we pray that our awakened love and compassion may fully open, and we have a sense of that awakened being coming into us, into our heart chakra, and that awakened presence of awakened mind of this great Buddha as is inseparable with our own innate awakened mind. And this is symbolized by a crystal vajra of light, or you could just see a brilliant light in your heart chakra. And it's actually this divine or awakened light that does the transmutation, the transformation of the suffering. So as we breathe in the suffering, as soon as it touches this light of awakened love, instantly that suffering is transformed into love and is sent out to the person that you're doing the tonglen for. And that love, this white light, fills them. And of course, this brings great joy, both to, you know, I mean, especially for the person doing the tonglen, and hopefully also it has an effect on the person you're doing it for. So in this way, that where people run into trouble with the regular tonglen is that the ego feels incapable of transforming that suffering, and it sort of sits there. Yeah. So in this practice, instantly, you know, we feel that a lightning bolt emanates from the light, from the vajra, and this is what transforms the suffering into love. So this awakened presence in our hearts and is anchored there, and that really, really makes a difference. And it also helps us get in touch with, over time, our own awakened mind.
Wow. So that's so beautiful. So it's like we need divine help. We need, like, our egos are too small or too scared or too, you know, freaked out by people suffering,
right,
to really do it. So we call on this divine. That's the step that I haven't heard about before. So I got so excited when I read about it in your book. And it's so interesting because I learned sort of a similar meditation style from a Christian mystic who talks about the Sacred Heart, sort of the meaning of the Sacred Heart, where it's like the suffering, and what Jesus would do is transform the suffering of humanity through the divine flames of love inside of his heart, you know, and the flame of compassion and love is so hot that it burns away suffering.
Oh,
I know, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And the same thing, it calls on Jesus, it calls on this, you know, higher power, this divine being to assist us with that.
Right, because we're not in touch with our own divine presence. We're not in touch with our innate wisdom and love. We're not in touch with our own awakened presence. So, you know, it's like, that's why we need help. It's not that it's not in us, it's that we can't access that within ourselves.
Right.
And it's easier to imagine someone else is divine or awakened and invite them into us, or just simply the presence of the formless, nameless God that's infinite in wisdom and love, and invite that presence into us and then have that do the transforming for us.
That seems so much more possible to get like the divine rocket boost of energy to really do that. Because I get bogged down in people's pain and suffering, and then if it triggers or resonates with anything of my own, you know, I think that happens to all therapists and healers, then it's really impossible to let it go. And I just think that this is a beautiful way to kind of get around that, or to, invite in a higher energy so so what's incredible about Tonglen is we're transforming and healing ourselves as we're doing that, even though we're praying for somebody else too, right?
Right. And also in this version, in Love in Every Breath, there's a whole step before you start doing it for others, where you imagine your ordinary self in front of you, and then from the perspective of awakened presence, you do the Tonglen for your human ordinary self. And this is often the most toughest part for people, because people find all kinds of reasons that they're not lovable, you know, that we're not lovable to ourselves. Yeah. And so working through those issues, which I talk about in the book, and how to talking about some of the issues that come up and working through those so we can fully open to our own suffering, have it be transformed and liberated, and really come into feeling a lot of love for our human self.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And I know you told some stories in your book about people that had incredible experiences in praying for people that maybe they were having a difficult relationship or people that we really have a hard time loving or caring about that are very triggering for us. How can this practice change our relationship with those kinds of people?
Well, first of all, just take kind of somebody who we're having a little problem with at work or something like that, or a friend or something. If we do the Tonglen for them, what shifts is our stuff in the situation, so to speak, like we clear our own heart through doing the practice, and we see this person in a more neutral and a more compassionate light. That opens up the space between the two of us for a different kind of relating to show up. And when we clear our half of it, and it doesn't mean we're letting someone off the hook for something they need to take responsibility for, but we're clearing the space and we're understanding them with some compassion, then they can show up in the space in a new way, and they usually do. And that promotes a different kind of relationship happening. Now, and then if it's somebody that we say there's somebody maybe, you know, not a personal friend, but somebody we know about through the media, you know, a head of a country or whatever, who we may feel is very cruel or destructive, to develop compassion for them is often very hard for us. But if we go through steps of understanding that they're a human being just like us, they're trying to be happy, they are going about it in all the wrong ways, everything they're doing is eventually going to implode on them. And because if we're causing suffering to others or mass or harming others, you know, that is not the path to happiness. But a lot of people don't realize that. So we can have compassion that they're very confused and they're actually just creating more suffering, even though in the short term it may be, you know, looking like they're getting away with it. And in the long term, again, it's not that we wouldn't hold them accountable for their actions, but we can still have compassion while holding people accountable.
Yeah, I mean, we live in such turbulent times right now, it seems, you know, and people are very polarized. And I was struck by something that you said in your book about one of the fundamental tenets of Buddhism is non-duality, and that we forget about that in our more polarized than ever world that we live in. And I'm seeing as you're talking that this Tonglen meditation is a way to bridge that duality and bring us back into that state of non-duality.
For sure. And, you know, the self-love is a real step toward being able to open ourselves to others. You know, when we really have love anchored in the heart of our being, then we can begin to open to others that are different than ourselves. And, you know, research has shown that, you know, it's easy to think, oh, those really bad people over in that country on the other side of the world, and we just think they're evil or something. But it's been shown that when you talk, when people get together from different cultures or countries or different ethnic groups, and they meet in some neutral way and they talk and discuss and share their stories, that people understand and care about each other and their views shift. Like, for example, like maybe, you know, you thought Muslims are all bad people. Some people think like that. And then in your college class, it turns out there's a Muslim sitting next to you, and you end up talking and you find out they're just a regular person. And why should you hate them?
Right. Yeah. So that as we come more into the loving relationship with ourselves and in connection with this more divine love, we can open to that space of seeing that we're all the same, like the similarities that we share in the oneness, which is the non-dual nature of reality, that this can sort of break apart. I could just feel the energy in the book when I was reading how this can just break apart those places where we get fooled into hatred or ignorance and fear and hatred create that separation. And then that
Absolutely.
Causes all the yeah. pain, so much of the pain and suffering of the world that we're in right now.
Absolutely. Very beautifully said. Yes. Yes, for sure.
And can you tell us a little bit about some of the steps? Or I know you can, I was intrigued about you can do them all together, and maybe that takes like 45 minutes or an hour, and then you can also break down the steps and do them separately. How does that work?
Yeah, so if you do the whole traditional practice, you know, kind of very thoroughly, then that takes like 45 minutes or an hour, or you could do it for longer. But you can also, there's a pith essence, what I call an on-the-spot version for each of the eight steps. And you can also do that on the cushion, which would take a much shorter length of time. You know, could probably be done in 10 minutes or, you know, 15 minutes. Or you can, once you learn the meditation, like maybe by doing the on-the-spot all at one point on the cushion, or doing the longer whole traditional practice, once you get a feel for it and you learn it, then any time in daily life, you can do one step or more. So for example, the first step is resting in open awareness. So say I'm out in traffic and all of a sudden I realize I'm very frazzled. I've been running around doing errands all day and I just realize, oh my God, I'm standing waiting in the grocery store line and I'm like really agitated or something, then we can just go into that first step right while waiting in line. Like you just drop everything, let go of all thoughts, and just let your mind rest in openness and awareness. You know, we can do that in 10 seconds once we get the hang of it. And so the getting the hang of it happens on the cushion, and then we can take any of these steps out, and you know, at any moment and do it in an instant or two. And I talk about how this, the heart of the whole practice, of course, is the main taking and sending in the middle of the steps. And I taught that practice even to a three-year-old who would do it, like when she saw kids hurting of another child, being mean to another child on the playground, she would just instantly do that, taking and sending with the light in her heart. And so, you know, just like a three-year-old, any of us can learn to do this just in an instant. And so that's very valuable because each of the steps has its own profound spiritual benefit to it. And we can just take those and make them ours and use them whenever we like.
Wow. Yeah. So it sounds like if you became very familiar with the whole process, you would be able to pull out the pieces of the process that you need in the particular moment. So you use just to help you get through daily life kind of.
Right. Right. Or just to reset, press the reset button, you know, at a moment in a short time in our lives as, you know, during our day.
So Lama Paldin, how can people find your wonderful book, Love on Every Breath? And do you have a website or other resources that people can use to connect with you?
Yeah, I have a website, lamapaldin.org, lamapaldin.org. So lamapaldin.org. And then the book's on Amazon or wherever books are sold. And it's also on Kindle or like that. So that's easy to get. You can also order it off my website. So, yeah. So hopefully people, you know, will be interested in what we're talking about and want to try this for themselves. It's really very powerful healing and enhancement of our loving kindness and joy, you know, for each of us. There's really that possibility, which then is so beneficial for our lives.
Yeah. And I think it's also, you know, can have a tremendous impact on our relationships and the, you know, difficult relationships we have with people, healing them, changing the relationships or changing the circumstance that we run up against in life that we can't change. There's sort of miracles that happen when we do this. So I want to just thank you so much for having you on the show today and for sharing your beautiful work with the world and how incredible that, you know, this sacred knowledge that came from this Daikini, this woman, 1,000 years ago is now coming through another woman into our time. It feels there's something about that feels special and amazing.
Yes, and I think it's interesting because my teacher was the first one to bring these teachings out all over the world from this yogic lineage of Tibet.
Yeah.
So, you know, the time is right, and the great beings are helping to bring through, you know, to all of us what we need for these challenging times.
Well, thank you so much, Lama Paldon. I so loved having you on my show. It was fantastic.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Really a pleasure to speak with you. I really enjoyed
it. Me too. And thank all of you guys out there in Empower Radio Land for listening in. You can find me at lisacampion.com. Come and check out my website. I've always got some free goodies for you on my resource page, all kinds of guided meditations and all sorts of things. Come and check it out. And thank you for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time right here on Empower Radio.